Welcome to the Jeff Thomas Show. Always on time and bringing you the hottest topics today. Now, introducing the show host, Jeff Thomas.
What's going on, everybody? This is your man, Jeff Thomas, on the Jeff Thomas Show. I want to welcome you to another edition of our show on a Tuesday. Man, time is flying. We're in October already. That time of the year, the holiday season is about to kick in. So, man, 2020 has been 1 year to remember. It's been 1 year to remember. But I want to thank everybody for tuning in today. And if you heard the other shows, you get an opportunity. If you haven't heard the other shows, go in and download them. Listen to our past shows. I want to, again, thank you for listening in. I had a great weekend. I hope everybody had a great weekend, because I wish that for everybody. I always wish the best for people. I mean, I think that's what we should always do. But on today's show, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. And here's the crazy thing. My show notes, for some reason, my show notes did not save. I don't know what happened to them. I'm looking all over for them in my computer. I can't find them anywhere. So now I'm going to have to go straight off the rip of what I remember I was supposed to be talking about. So it's going to be interesting. I have a couple of things that I want to share with you. Of course, we got to talk about the president and being diagnosed with COVID-19 virus. We got to talk about that. And I'm going to play a little clip, because we have the voting and we're talking about voting. Get out and vote. That's coming up next month, within a few weeks, 3 weeks. It's almost here. 3-4 weeks. It's almost here, man. It's time to vote. So we'll discuss that as well. And just a few things. We'll talk some sports. I want to talk about the NBA finals and this LeBron situation. I mean, people, I'm just going to tell you this. People make something out of nothing. And this big old thing about LeBron walking off the court, it just did not make any sense. And then I'm going to talk about the fight between the Los Angeles Rams and the New York Giants, and between Jalen Ramsey and the receiver from the New York Giants. And it was just crazy. It was a family affair. So we'll discuss that a little bit. But again, I want to thank you all for tuning in. If you get an opportunity, go in and like our show page on Facebook, The Jeff Thomas Show. You can also follow me on Instagram at The Jeff Thomas Show. And if you want to go on Twitter, it's Jeff Thomas Show. Find us there as well. We're also on Spotify. So if you got Spotify, you want to listen to a podcast, you can tune in. You can listen to my show as well. You can also find me on iTunes. Go in, like the show, give me comments. We're on Stitcher. We're on a lot of different formats. So check us out, man. I say we, talking about me. But I'm going to tell you a little bit about my weekend, though. I mean, it was cool. It was very, very cool. I had one of my close friends from college. And for those who don't know, I went to school out east. I went to Temple University in Philadelphia. Played football out there. I love my university. Hands down, I have nothing but love for my university. Temple University, to me, is the best university out there. And so it's located in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Spent a lot of my years out there when I was a young man, and I got an opportunity to kind of grow up out there. But one of my good friends, and I'll say his name's Carnell Washington, and we went to actually junior college together out in Iowa, and we decided to take our football talents over to Temple University in Philadelphia. We followed a young man by the name of Torin Skyniers. Torin was from Burlington, New Jersey. And I, you know, it's funny, because I was a pretty good football player in high school and in junior college. And I didn't have a concept of where I wanted to go to school afterwards, because I was being offered scholarships from a lot of universities. But I came across Temple University because of Torin Skyniers. And Torin's from New Jersey, so Temple was only like about 20 minutes away from there. It's across the bridge. And so, you know, I didn't know much about it, but I knew it was a Division I school, and I know they played in a lot of big stadiums. And, you know, I got a chance to visit. And for those who don't know, Bruce Arians, who's now the coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was our coach at the time. And I said, you know what, let me take a look. And I took a visit, and I fell in love with it. You know, it was in the inner city, which I'm from Chicago. So that made it an easy transition to say, you know what, I'm going to go to Temple, because we were out in the cornfields in Iowa. No disrespect, we went to Ellsworth Junior College. At that time, Ellsworth was one of the top junior college football programs in the country. And if you watch Last Chance U, you'll see it a lot on there. But Ellsworth at that time was a great, great junior college program when we were there. One of the most winningest programs in the country. Probably still is, but as of late, they haven't been that good. And they sent a lot of players to Division I and sent a lot of players to Division II, and they moved forward. Well, make a long story short, our friend, my friend, I hadn't seen him in 30 years. Hadn't seen him in 30 years, and I took my wife downtown Chicago for a staycation on a Friday, and, you know, I linked up with my friend. He was here, you know, for some personal family business, and I got a chance to see him. And we connected, we hooked up, we had dinner, and then we had breakfast. But I hadn't seen him in 30 years, and we did not miss a beat. When I tell you, it was like we just picked up where we left off from in college. And so I'm going to have him on the show. I'm going to ask him to come on the show. He has a mind mapping, motivational speaker. He has a story to tell. And I definitely want him to come on the Jeff Thomas Show and tell that story, because it's a story of resiliency. It's a story of comeback. It's a story of forgiveness. It's a story of moving forward. It's a story of humility. And we need to hear these kind of stories today. You know, there's so much negativity out in this world, and it's time for some positive things to be discussed. So we're going to have Carnell on the show. I'm going to hook it up, and we'll definitely do it. And, you know, we'll talk. It'll be a really, really entertaining show. So big shots up. And then my man Pete Coop was with us as well. Pete Coop also went to the junior college with us. He didn't go to Temple, but he ended up going to St. Cloud State in Minnesota. And so we all had to separate. And Pete Coop, I went to high school with and junior college. So big deal. For us this past weekend, we got a chance to connect, and we didn't miss a beat, all of us. We're just older. So, you know, you kind of look at time, man. Time is unforgiving, and it moves forward. But with that being said, we're going to jump right into the politics. I got to talk about our president, Mr. Donald Trump. I don't know. You know, it was so fun. It's funny, but it's not funny. You know, it came out last week after the debates, because we discussed the debates last Thursday on our show, and he tested positive for COVID-19. And so, you know, with our president, I mean, you really don't know what to believe. A lot of people are skeptical about it. They think it's a political ploy. You know, whether it's a political ploy or not, I kind of took it very seriously from my standpoint, because I had to say to myself, like, is this, hopefully he wouldn't do something like this, as serious as this is. I mean, let's think, since January, we've lost over 200,000 people to COVID-19. And so we saw the president go to Walter Reed in the hospital, saw the president come out in 3 days, and we saw him return to the White House. We also saw him last night take his mask off at the White House. He was seen inside the White House without his mask. So I'm questioning, is this, hopefully this is a hoax. I would rather have it be a hoax than him actually have coronavirus and walking around the White House with this virus. This is serious, and it's not a mockery. I'm not understanding people who want to politicize this and say, you know, he's saying we should live our lives. This is the president. We should live our lives and not allow COVID to control it. While I agree with that, there's a certain amount of precaution that you must take in order to protect yourself from this virus. It's just what it is. This is not something to play with. We're not out here to posture for the country, posture to say that we're still strong. I mean, we have leadership in place. Sometimes that's what the vice president is for. I believe that the president should have quarantined for 14 days. He's at an age, one, he's 74 years old. He's a little older. He's predisposed to all these different illnesses. I mean, this man could go. So that's first and foremost. A lot of people have a lot of different views. Some people say, hey, good riddance to him. Some people say, hey, so far. I mean, I'm not going to put that out in the air, because the power of the tongue is very, very serious. So certain things that you put out in the air, and you don't want that to come back on you. So I'm not going to say good riddance to the president because of his stance on COVID-19. No, I won't do that because it could come back to harm you. But what I will say for the president is that you are the president of the United States of America. If you're ill with the COVID-19 virus, you should be quarantined, period. This is not a joke. And I wish people would get that into their thick heads. This material stuff is going to be here. I know it's tough time. Look, tough times don't last. Tough people do. We've all heard that saying at some point. Somebody has said that to me. I know somebody said it to me. So we need to take that kind of stance because this is a serious situation. What about the other people who we've been telling and we've been pleading with to wear a mask? Something as simple as wearing a mask for a few seconds. If you're inside of a store, if you're inside any place, please put on your mask. That's not infringing on your rights. That's protecting you and you're protecting other people. Our president, I mean, come on, man. He has to get better than that. And when I saw that last night, I watched television. I'm looking at the president posturing. I'm like, what is going on? What is happening? So, you know, getting out and voting is very serious. And I'm going to, you know, the president, I know he has an election coming up and he wants to win. But it's not that serious if it's going to take your life out before you reach that point. I know a lot of people don't necessarily care for the president, but you know, I'm going to err on the side of not having karma come back and bite me in the butt, because it can, especially when you put stuff out in the air. But people, this is very dangerous, in my opinion, of our president. It's not a show of strength. It's a show of weakness. It's a show of desperation. That's what I saw. I saw narcissism, a narcissistic attitude. So, you know, when you have things like that going on in our country, what direction are we really going in as a nation? And I say as a nation because we're full of, I mean, we all are engaged and involved in this. COVID is affecting everyone's life. Things have changed this year. It's been huge change in how we have to handle it, how we have to live. And that might be some way. That might be that way for a little bit. But we have to learn to adjust. And that's the strength of a people. People who can adjust. If you can't adjust, then I don't know what to tell you. You got to be able to survive in this COVID, or else you go die, or you risk being on a ventilator. And let me just say this too, because I heard the president out there posturing, saying, "Oh, well, you know, I'm strong, I'm coming back from this, and you can too." Not everybody can come back. Not everybody's getting treated at Walter Reed Hospital. The president is getting the absolute best in care from Walter Reed. This is not like the regular person going to the hospital that insurance is kind of shaky, or you don't have insurance at all and you're not getting that top notch care. You're not getting them two steroid shots. I'm just telling you, it's a whole different animal right now. So, you know, wake up, people. President, come on, man. I mean, I'm highly disappointed. We talking about health, and I know, you know, he held back on information. We had the 200, you know, back in February when he knew about the COVID virus initially. So, I mean, my thing to him is this. We don't want 200,000 more people to die. And we don't want that to grow to 500,000 people dead because of this virus, because we didn't get it ahead of time. This is not like the flu, like the president tried to allude to. Not even close. The flu is a whole different animal. Entirely different animal. So we have to really, you know, we have to really pay attention to this serious issue, Mr. President. Flu not killing 200,000 people in a 6 month. This is way worse than the airplanes flying into the World Trade Building back in 2001, September 11. Way worse than that. We've quadrupled the number of people who have passed away because of that. We got to start thinking smarter. Hey, this is your man, Jeff Thomas, on the Jeff Thomas Show. Right here, it can be heard every Tuesday and Thursday. You can get our podcast. It uploads at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern. So make sure you check us out. Download our show. You can also like our show page. If you get an opportunity, like our show page. You can follow it on Blog Talk Radio. You can follow it, or you can subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, and some of the other podcasts, wherever you get your podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Google Podcasts, I should say. We are there. And, you know, I wanted to talk that, but I want to play a little clip from something I heard on Instagram. One of my favorite actors, Josh Brolin. And if you know anything about Josh Brolin, he played in Sicario. And I love the Sicario series. I love those kind of things. And so I'm going to play his little clip that he had on Instagram. And he was talking about the election that's coming up. And he kind of referenced The Rock. And The Rock endorsed Kamala Harris and Joe Biden. And so I want to play this clip and just take a listen to it. I thought it was very interesting, you know, that we get a perspective of someone who's, you know, an actor outside of the norm that we don't necessarily see all the time. So I'm going to play his clip. Listen to it. Just kind of, if you get an opportunity to go on Facebook, I'll post it on my Facebook page, The Jeff Thomas Show, and you get an opportunity to kind of, you know, weigh in on it. I'd be interested to see what your thoughts is, the people's thoughts is on it. So get a chance, take a listen to it. This is Josh Brolin.
American people and people outside of the country. So I saw that The Rock was endorsing Biden, and I saw some of the comments. Most of them so filled with vitriol and anger. And it's funny, man. I just thought the great American ideal was to be able to have the freedom to vote for who you want. Without attack. I think some of you are a little confused. I understand, this is what I understand very well, that when somebody says America is great, I would say 30% of the people are willing to follow you, whatever you do. Now, this Biden guy seems anything but senile. And then if he never did anything in government, neither is Trump. So, you know, in the past, Trump came from a borrowing business career. So somebody who paid less taxes than normal workers, stuff like that. But, you know, that's not even like putting the shit stain on him. It's just a fact. It's a fact. Everybody tries to save on your taxes. So it's a fact. He saved. He did what he could. That's what happens when you have a lot of money and you have lawyers and people to figure it out and all that kind of stuff. Or you're just honest and you pay. I'm a dickhead. I just am honest and I pay because I hope that my tax dollars go to good things, you know, like I imagine science and art. But I know that that's not the case. Science used to be really respected when America was great, and so were the arts in a major, major, major way. Now science has become fake, like news, and the arts don't get subsidized at all. So what's left? A lot of freaking angry people that just want somebody to say America is great. A guy who holds up a Bible who doesn't go to church, but who holds up a Bible and they go, there you go, there's our guy. So it's purely cosmetic now. So I believe, and I understand very well, that voting for Trump is like voting for a Kardashian. It's just what you like. If you like big booty, you vote for Kardashian. If you like somebody with a lot of money that you think is a great businessman and is going to do that for America, you vote for Trump. It's pretty simple. Biden is not a dynamic guy, and that's what Democrats need, is a dynamic guy. But all the pigeonholing and all the angry titling, and it's just ridiculous. It's gotten to the point where it's a joke. So even if you vote for Trump, you have that right. You have that right. What do you want America to be? This is what I know. Most people want to be proud of where they're from. They want to be proud of tradition. They want to be proud of who they are. And we don't have the respect of anybody right now. And to earn that respect, you have to be looked up to, like a teacher who's great, like a mentor who's fantastic. Not because he or she is saying the right things, but he or she is doing the right things. You can tell by power of example who somebody is. We all make mistakes. We've all fucked up in the past. I fucked up in the past. But when I got sober, I became a better person. And I started doing things that were for people instead of for myself and selfish. But it doesn't matter because people think like they think. You know, they don't want to be wrong. People are terrified of being wrong. People want the cosmetic stuff. So if there is something in you that actually, like, I understand why people voted for Trump in 2016. Something different. Different didn't work. We are not a better country. We are not a better country. We can pretend like we are, but too much stuff has happened. Too many people have died senselessly. There's been a lot of things, like looting. Therefore, all protesters are shit. Not true. You know, police brutality. All police are shit. Not true. Both sides of it. But people feel like they have to pick one side or the other. All protesters are shit, and all cops are good. All cops are shit, and...
So, that's Josh Brolin, and thought he had an interesting perspective. Let me see if we got him back.
It's the cosmetic, easy, dumbed-down version of lazy citizenry. I think we're better than this. I think we're better than this. I really, really do. But I don't know. I could be wrong. I could be wrong. Vote for who you want to. But vote for who's going to make this country as a whole a better place. Democrats need to say, look, America is the most important place, period. And Republicans need to stop lying and saying everything is a fallacy and everything is wrong. They say fake news, and then they'll cite news, but the news that they like. And then they'll say, that's okay. They'll say, this is fake news. And then they'll cite news. Doesn't make it. It's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. This is a fact. All that's fake. But this is a fact. Look at what he's done. They said it. They wrote it down. I don't get it. If all fake news is fake, then all fake news is fake, isn't it? Are all but what you want to hear and want to believe. I hope that we're able to see beyond our own hemorrhoidal perspective. I really do. But most of all, I hope that we stop treating each other like shit. And look out for your neighbor and look out for your family. I moved to Georgia, and I see it here. I'm pretty pleased. Our neighbors came over and introduced themselves. Imagine that. Sweet. People are kind. People are kind when they're not on the defense. Amazing. I hope you're all having a wonderful day.
That's Josh Brolin, and apologize for some of the notifications coming through while we were recording. But, I mean, I thought he had some great points, you know, especially with fake news. If fake news is fake, then all fake news is fake. And so, you know, we tend to believe in what we want to believe in. And the reason why he came out with the polls is because when The Rock came out and endorsed Joe Biden and Kamala Harris, he caught so much flack from his quote-unquote fans. And so I like Josh Brolin's perspective on this as a country, you know. And I will say this to you, you know, everybody has a different perspective on things. And I was just talking to my son the other day, and, you know, some of his friends are Trump supporters, and they from college are Trump supporters. And, you know, he was really upset about some of their views and opinions and things like that. And I had to tell him, I said, you know what? Yeah, they were your friends and they may still be your friends, but they have their own political and own religious views. And my wife says it best. Don't get into arguments about politics and religions with your friends, especially those that don't look, don't share the same color as you. And so I thought Josh Brolin had brought out some issues that we need to think about as American people, especially those people who have those issues. If you have those issues, I mean, you know, they really need to be addressed, and you need to address them. But there needs to be conversations held. You know, we are so divided as a country. We are so divided that it is unreal. It is unreal that we have so many different views. And like he said, everybody wants to be right. Nobody wants to be wrong, and people fear being wrong. And you can even see that on social media. When you get into it with somebody, or you have an issue with somebody and you're arguing about politics, culture, religion, or whatever it is, people get so upset when they're wrong and you don't agree with their view. And it's like they have to protect themselves to the death. It's okay to be wrong. And I know I've been guilty of it myself. You don't want to admit that your perspective may be a little off. We go through that. Sometimes we're just not, you know, we're just not right. And it's okay for us to not be right all the time, or our perspective to be a little, you know, skewed. How you feel is how you feel. That's it. I can't change or control how you feel, but at least respect my view as well, because I may feel a certain kind of way and have some empathy and understanding of what we're all going through. This 2020 has been, I mean, I can remember January, December 31st, bring it in January 2020. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, as we've progressed through the year, I just recall the year starting off very strong from a personal standpoint. And then to kind of see it trickle down the way it has trickled down, it's like, man, this year has really turned into something just, and I won't say, you know, it's bad for anybody that lost anyone to COVID-19. Don't get me wrong. It's bad that anybody has lost someone to police brutality. But man, you know, you definitely want to keep pushing, and you want to think positive about what's going on. You have such a negative mind state that that's all we want to focus on. That's all we want to focus on. We don't want to focus on nothing else but the negative. And that's the first thing that we start with as people. I'm not saying everybody, because everybody doesn't feel that way, but we have such a negative perspective. And so even with 2020 going the way it's been, this, we've had precedents for this, but we don't know our history, so we don't know where to pull from. And most Americans don't know history because we don't study, we don't read enough as a people. We don't care about it. We only care about the now. But in 1918 1920, the world was full of Spanish influenza. It happened. So, you know, I just want everybody to know, it's not a doomsday mentality. It's not the end of the world. Things are just happening. This is a part of history repeating itself. There have been plagues before. We just don't know, because we're not students of history. We don't understand how to deal. See, right now we should understand that and know that we're going to get through this. We should know that we are going to get through this. This is not something that's going to hinder us forever. And our children and our grandchildren, it's not something that's going to hinder us forever. It's just a time, a very small speck in time, and something that's natural that happens. These things happen. Plagues happen. Viruses happen. We've seen it over and over and over. Nothing is new under the sun. And my father used to say that all the time, and I know that's a popular saying, but there's nothing new under the sun. It's not. I wanted to play that clip by Josh Brolin, and he played in the Sicario movies, and I want to say I think he was in a few other movies. Man, I enjoy him as an actor, and so I like watching some of the movies because he's more of a serious sort of actor. But you know, we just have to kind of move forward in our lives. We can't sit back and just focus on the negative so much so. And I'm going to talk about a few things in a couple other segments coming up, and we're going to try to address this. But it seems like people only like the drama. People only like the drama. So, hey, this is your man, Jeff Thomas, on the Jeff Thomas Show. Thank you for tuning in every Tuesday and Thursdays, 7 p.m. Make sure you check us out or go back and listen to some of the past podcasts. Follow our show page right here on Blog Talk Radio. You can also download our show on iTunes and some of the other, wherever you get your podcasts. Look in Jeff Thomas Show. And always feel free to comment, send us messages. We take it all. Good, bad. You want to rip me apart? Rip me apart. That's cool. I'm with it. I'm with it. I mean, I'm not scared of that. That's a part of it because you're not going to agree with me. And I'm a big enough boy. I can handle it. I can handle it. And we could discuss it. That's okay. So much stuff going on. I want to jump right now into a couple of things. I want to talk about, saw something in the podcast, and I watch podcasts frequently, some on YouTube, and there's a young lady who's a singer. Her name is Jaguar Wright, and I've been watching her rants, is what I call them. And I'm not here to judge either way. She's come at a lot of people. She's come at the Mary J. Blige's. She's come at the Jill Scott. She's come at the Roots. She's come at Talib Kweli. She's come at a lot of entertainers that I particularly enjoy. They're some of my favorites. Some of the ones she's going at, some of my favorites. And I didn't want to really discuss this, but, you know, as I look at some of the stuff that she's saying, and some people are saying she's crazy. She also attacked Common. She just recently apologized to Tiffany Haddish, who's dating Common, because she made kind of an allegation that Common sort of may have sexual misconduct there. I wouldn't use the R word, but I would say sexual misconduct on his part. And so when you put that kind of stuff out in the air about people, or when you air dirty laundry on people, you know, people at some point they'll let it go, but at some point people will start to fire back. And so I'm not gonna say that she has mental health issues, because a lot of people are saying that about her, because I don't know her state of mind there, so I can't speak to that. I'm not a psychologist, and I can't diagnose her on that. But what it looks like to me is that maybe she's a little upset and bitter about a few things that maybe didn't happen for her. And so if you look at that, and I remember her, and I remember her music, and I remember listening to a lot of, the young sister can sing. I say she can sing, not just sing, but she can sing. But, you know, she's airing out a lot of different things about people. She said Puffy or P. Diddy or whatever said that, you know, he would sodomize people, or, you know, make men perform oral sex on him. I mean, if he did, that's his business. That's his business if he did that. She called out Jill Scott, said she was very promiscuous, very jealous, said she stole her style. I don't know. I don't know if she did or not. I can't really speak to that. I love neo soul music. So whether it's Jill Scott, whether it's Carmen Rogers, whether it's Erykah Badu, whether it's Floor Tree, I love all that kind of music. Musical soul, music soul child. I love that kind of music. So, but the women, I mean, I enjoy all their music. And so I don't really see neo soul as a lot of competition, because I think now in today's society, even with music, you pull the music that you want to hear and you listen to it. It's so vast out here. I mean, I can spend money if I want to download the songs that I like. I like those songs. It's not really a comp. But maybe she didn't reach the successes of some of those women. And I don't know, you know, why not? Just things happen in life. And from the looks of her Instagram, she's been through a lot. She's been through a lot. I mean, a son was murdered. I think she has another son that's older, and he had some issues. And I just think that people have to take a time out. Whatever time this is now that she feels like she needs to rant, this is very interesting to me. And so Jill Scott kind of fired back a little bit on her Instagram, and she made a comment. And Talib Kweli, and don't get me wrong, I like Talib Kweli as an artist, and he's a social activist now. He's a cultural influencer, he's a social media influencer, and I've always liked his music. Sometimes the best response is no response, because people get fueled by those sort of things, regardless of whoever it is. It doesn't even matter who it is. It could be me. But you get fueled when somebody says something about you, and you give them fuel, keep pouring on the gasoline. Now, you have a right, and everybody has a right to protect their brand, no doubt about it. But if you stay silent, then you basically destroy that person and you put out the fire, because they have nothing to go on if you're not coming back at them. So I saw Talib Kweli and I saw his response. Much respect to the brother, but it was a bad response. I have to put it out there, my brother. It was a bad response. It wasn't a very good response. It made you look very petty. And I mean, if you're going to go low, because don't get me wrong, I believe if somebody goes low, you should go low. But this is not the time. And I think how he went low was a problem. And I'm going to say this too. With most men, you can't argue with no woman. It's just not going to work. Cannot argue with a woman. She will tear your head off, especially if she knows things about you. If she knows things about you, don't tell a woman nothing. If she's not going to be your wife, you don't want her to know any intimate things about you. And even in that case, sometimes, you know, you want to be as transparent as possible, if at all possible. But, you know, your wife or woman, she's going to rip you apart. It's just what it is. So you have to be very careful when you do things like that. And his response the other day, I was like, man, Talib, just keep quiet, bro. Don't even give it no fuel. Jill Scott gave her a little fuel. And let me see if I can go and find that Jill Scott post where she made a comment about it. And she didn't. And I noticed on Jill Scott's page that she turned off the comments in that particular post. Okay. So I found that interesting because I'm like, wait a minute, Jill, you turned off the comments on that. And I know why she did it. I know why she did it, because like I said previously, people want to focus on the negatives. And since people want to focus on the negatives, they tend to respond negatively. So I'm going to say Jill probably would have got a lot of those fans that are fans of Jaguar White, or not even fans of Jaguar White, but people who just want to hear negativity. They just would have went in. So let me go. I found it here. It says here, a lion doesn't turn around when the small dog barks. Okay. So I know Jill considers herself a lioness, and she's probably looking at Jaguar as a small dog, you know, barking up the tree. But I see she had Talib Kweli like it. And it, I mean, the young lady, she DJ Premier liked it. So she came at a lot of these people in the industry. She came at Mary J. Blige. You know, I think she called a lesbian or whatever. And if she is, or she had lesbian practices, that's her business. There's nothing to do with anybody or how they feel. We all have ills. We all have done things that are wrong. We all do. And you have to look at yourself first. Point the fingers at yourself before you come out here really just kind of going and viscerally ripping people apart. It does not. I have to say, it does not do you any justice, or it damages your credibility. And so, I mean, I'm a podcaster. I've been podcasting for a while now. It's been over 10 years. And I enjoy what I do. And it's not so much monetarily. I think I have a voice, and I think I want to share what's inside my head with other people. But you have a lot of people out here, and I'm not knocking the young man who reached out to her and she joined his podcast live. He guess he was the person that gave her that outlet. But people talk about clout chasing. Well, you know, that's a new term, because anybody who had to be successful back, you know, 20, 30 years ago, you had to clout chase. You had to. That's how you became successful. You had to go out there. You had to beat the path. I'm not knocking a young man with his podcast, because he's gained a lot of traction with it on his YouTube page and all those sort of things. And I'm happy for him, that because he's probably been beating the path like a lot of us to try to get noticed, because you want people to listen out. And now he's got like 10,000 views. His views have went up tremendously. He was very happy as I watched the podcast last night. But sometimes you have to stay away from stuff. You can't be messy. If you want to be messy, that's cool. But you have to be careful of that, because not everybody is as accepting that kind of behavior. Some people will come back at you. Some people will front you. Some people will meet up with you some places. So you have to be really careful, especially when you indulge in business that you really have nothing to do with per se. You're kind of like an innocent bystander. And, you know, a lot of these young gossip columnists, I mean, that's cool. It's whatever. But sometimes people get really, really caught up in that, and that could lead to some other things. So, you know, you just be mindful of that. Like I said, Jaguar Wright, I remember her music. The sister can sing. I would really want to hear her voice more so than the negative things that she has going on right now. I would really, 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 really love to hear her with some new music, because I remember her. And it's funny because I looked at my playlist on iTunes, and I saw that I had her, my playlist. And it was a song from, I think it was Brown Sugar, the movie. And I loved that song. And I played it. I was like, man, where has she been? It's been a long time since I've heard anything from her. So, you know, let's take the positive road on this. Yeah, people probably did things, and I'm not saying she's wrong, because I don't know. I'm not saying she's right. I'm a huge Jill Scott fan. Huge Jill Scott fan. I don't care what's going on. Love me some Jill Scott. I like Erykah Badu's music. Love me some Mary J. Blige music. She ain't the best actress now. I'm looking at that Ghost Power Book 2, whatever it is. It's a little suspect, okay? But I enjoy Mary J. I remember in Philly, when I was in Philly, I can't remember the name of the club, but I remember she came to perform and Diddy was with her. And she performed this club on South Street in Philly. And I remember going, I'm like, man, this sister, you know, we had heard Real Love and all that kind of stuff. So I'm like, man, she cold. I like her style. People say she can't dance. Man, get out of here. I like the way Mary dance. She got that soul with her. But got a chance to see Mary J. Blige perform when she was raw. It was raw. You could tell she was just hitting the scene. She was going around to the club. She was making it happen. And so she's where she's at now because of that. And what I want to tell a lot of people, there's no struggle. There's no progress without struggle. That's Frederick Douglass. So for people in the entertainment industry, people who are trying to make it, you're going to struggle a little bit in order to be successful. It's going to happen. It is going to happen. You're going to have to pay the price because it takes time. Some people, you know, it's regardless of what you do. I try to tell my sons, hey, you want to open up a business? You want to, you know, be a professional football player, doctor, lawyer? You're going to have to work for it. Nothing's going to come easy. You got to put the time in. It takes time to get it in and to get the work in and keep pushing. So I just wanted to drop that in because I didn't want to talk about it and discuss it, but I had to after last night watching one of the things. I was like, come on, man, this is just getting outrageous. And especially for African-American people, we don't need to be outing each other so much so. No, we really need to be discussing and we need to be moving forward. I talked about this in the first podcast. It's about wins. We need to be putting wins in the column. We need victories. We don't need losses. We got too much loss. We need to be winning now. I want to put points on the board. I want to score. I want to win. So that's part of my entertainment. I guess that's the entertainment segment, huh? Yeah, that's entertainment. Oh, RIP to Eddie Van Halen. He passed 65 years old. Man, he's young. I remember Eddie Van Halen, man. Those songs back in the day, man, when I was young in the 80s. Good times. But RIP to Eddie Van Halen. Now I want to talk a little. I'm going to talk a little NFL. Then I'm going to talk NBA, but I'm talking NFL first. I'm a firm believer in this. My family business needs to stay in-house, okay? Needs to stay in-house. We don't ever, and I don't think anybody should ever be airing out family business in public. These people out here in the public eye, whatever, we should not be talking about what goes on in our family business to the public. And people should respect the privacy of what's going on in our house. Should. Because you see it so many times with athletes coming out. You know, things happen within their family. They might have domestic issues or they might. What seems like a domestic issue. Because we know the media can kind of turn things around. And it's not necessarily the case. You know, stories by the time it reaches, you know, us in the public. That story's been flipped about 100 times. I've read from one story one time. I read like 10 different versions of it. And I'm like, who's telling what? And then a lot of people do stuff for clickbait. So that gets a little disturbing to me at times. But we'll talk about Golden Tate and Jalen Ramsey. Well, according, Jalen Ramsey plays for the New York Giants. Golden Tate plays for, I'm sorry, Jalen Ramsey plays for the Los Angeles Rams. Golden Tate plays for the New York Giants. Apparently, Jalen Ramsey dated Golden Tate's sister. All right. Now, I'm just going to say this. They let their family feud boil over into the football field. So now let's just think about this. What happened between Jalen Ramsey and Golden Tate's sister? Because apparently he has two children by her or whatever. I think one or two kids. And of course, well, I won't say of course because that's not right. They had some relationship issues. So they boiled over into the football field. They got to fighting after the game. And if you watch it, you go to some of the highlights. I mean, Golden Tate, you play receiver. Jalen Ramsey plays defense. You're going to put a threat out saying you're going to get at him when they play each other. You marking this on your calendar. You got to know that a man, I mean, he's going to think protecting himself. It's going to happen. And so what ended up happening was that one of the plays, Jalen Ramsey, like, really just drilled down on him. And Golden Tate plays receiver, and Jalen Ramsey plays defensive back. And so he drilled down on him. It was a crazy hit slash tackle. And so, you know, it didn't look too bad for looked too good for Golden Tate. Well, my thing is this. Y'all should keep that in-house. Golden Tate, your sister is a grown woman. She's not a little girl. She's a grown woman. She has two kids, I think, by this guy. Whatever he did with her, that's wrong. It shouldn't happen. But you can't really control that, man. You can't control what's happening there. But they end up getting into a fight after the game. So now you're bringing in your entire, both of your teams, who have nothing to do with you all's personal situation, and coaches, and they're all in a big melee trying to break up the fight or even fighting, punching each other. It got ridiculous. And I'm saying to myself, man, this is some young boy stuff. And Golden Tate ain't all that young. Ramsey's a little younger, but Golden Tate, you ain't all that young. Well, come on, man. Brothers, y'all got to do better than that. Man, y'all could have handled that stuff at a whole different place. Whole different place. It's a time and place for everything. That definitely wasn't a time and place to air out your family business. I could see if it was football related, then we got an issue. But it's not football related. It's the stuff y'all doing that's on some old, man, 12-year-old, 13-year-old high school, elementary school stuff. Ridiculous, man. Grow up. I'm telling y'all, both of y'all grow up on that one. Golden Tate, hey, that's your sister. She got to handle her own business. Unless he put his hands on her. He put his hands on her. Now, if he put hands on her, then we got a problem. That's when you got to go here. Yeah, we could forget the football game. We got some other issues. If they got relationship problems, man, you got to step back from that. Not your business. It's not your business. Yeah, protect your sister's honor. I understand that. That's noble. But that's not your business. Jalen Ramsey, man, come on, bro. I mean, you're a great football player. I don't know what y'all's situation is, but you got to handle your business, man. If you date somebody that plays football, that it's in the league, you know these things are going to happen. It's going to happen. And guys have egos. It's amazing to me. All the women in the world that you could possibly date. I'm not saying that his sister, I don't know what his sister looks like. I need to take a look at her and see what she looks like. But of all the people in the world, man, that you could date, all the women in the world that you could date, why somebody that close to the game? I mean, I just have to, you know, say that. There's so many people. I'm seeing the NBA, and that's a good segue into the NBA. I'm seeing the NBA guys, and, you know, I'm looking at it, and I'm just like, man, like, how y'all just sort of transferring girlfriends between each other? Transferring girlfriends. It's like y'all passing them around. It doesn't make any sense to me. Really doesn't. I'm just saying, I see it all the time. I was giving you an example of it. I think it was the Dallas Mavericks versus the Clippers. Doc Rivers' daughter used to date Paul George, who played for the Clippers. Now, Doc Rivers is Paul George's coach. Well, Seth Curry, who was the brother of Stephen Curry, married Doc Rivers' daughter. And he plays for the Dallas Mavericks. And so I'm looking at this. I'm like, how's she going from one to the next? It's like, and this is not new. This is groupies And I don't, no disrespect to the groupies, but man, y'all are just going around and these guys are just dating these women from one to the next. It's the same women in the same circle, and they go through all the entertainers and athletes. Guys, there are plenty other good women out here that don't have an agenda. Find them. You have a special set of skills. They would love to be with you, and they will treat you right. Let's go. I mean, you guys are young, man. I understand the young guys. When we were all young at some point, we all did stupid things. It happens. I just have to say that. I had to put that out there. Y'all got to do better than that, man. Y'all up here fighting. And understandable, it's your sister. But Ramsey, you got to get your shit in order. Get your house in order, man. Clear it up. Don't disrespect the lady. Don't be doing all that foolishness. It's your man JT Live right here. On the Jeff... Oh, I said JT Live. This is JT Lab, but this is the Jeff Thomas Show, okay? I want to thank everybody for tuning in. I want to touch on the NBA really, really quick before we get out of here. LeBron James and the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler had a monster game. Game three. So right now the series is 2-1 Lakers. I can't wait to watch this tonight. I'm going to put it on. I have to check this out, man, because I think it's going to be a barn burner. You know, Jimmy Butler was talking a lot of trash. LeBron was talking trash. I think LeBron told him y'all in trouble. Then Jimmy Butler woofed, you in trouble. But the big issue, LeBron walking off the court. Now, people made too much of a big deal out of this. And I rip LeBron from time to time, although I respect him as a basketball player. Excellent. Excellent for his era. But come on, man. I've seen players walk off the court with seconds left when the game is out of reach. I mean, dude, what do we stand on the court for? I have to stand on the court? It makes no sense. I've seen football coaches with 20 seconds left, knowing that they can't do anything and the game is over. They have no more timeouts. I've seen them walk across the field and shake other coaches' hands. They go to the locker room. I've seen players do it. I've done it as a player. What is the disrespect because LeBron didn't LeBron didn't stay on the court all the way through? It was like 10 seconds or so. He left the court. So what? Get off of him, man. That's ridiculous. Y'all reading too much into this stuff. On the real. Y'all reading way too much into this stuff, man. A man just walked off the court. And other players walked off the court, too. And so I heard some people try to compare it to the Detroit Pistons, what they did to the Chicago Bulls back when the Bulls won the Eastern Conference over Detroit and they made it to the championship against the Lakers. I think it was back in 91. What? The game was over. Isaiah then walked off. So that those two not even parallel. They still got games to play. Some of this stuff, man, y'all read too much into it. LeBron is the face of the NBA. We know it. But damn, he doesn't do everything wrong. The fact that he walked off the court has nothing. That should not even been an issue. Whoever made that an issue. And I'm seeing fans and people go off about that. Now, I rip LeBron. And a lot of times, I rip him just for fun, especially in our Facebook group. I have a Facebook group called Chicago Sports Nation, and we rip LeBron, but we should rip LeBron. He killed us when he was in Cleveland, Chicago, and I know he had extra motivation to do it because of Michael Jordan. But outside of that, man, come on, LeBron is a beast. He's just gonna go down as one of the best, top 10 for sure. You know, some people say top 5. My sons say top 3. I'm like, nah. There's too many other players out there. I'm not just gonna give LeBron that. But that being said, I can't wait for game, I think it's game 4 tonight, NBA, and it's going to be on ABC, so you get an opportunity to watch it. Check it out on ABC. And man, this is, hopefully you all enjoyed the show. Again, you can follow us on our social media outlets, The Jeff Thomas Show, of course, Facebook. Go to Facebook and like our page, please. Go to Facebook and like our page. Give us whatever your thoughts is, you know, let us know. We all open for it. I'm open for it. You could also, if you want to follow me on Instagram, at The Jeff Thomas Show, check me out there, follow me there. On Twitter, I don't really go to Twitter a whole lot. Yeah, I just don't, I'm not attracted to Twitter. I don't know. Twitter just doesn't do anything for me, but Jeff Thomas Show on Twitter, you can check me out there as well. So I want to thank everybody for listening to the show. Leave a comment, leave something. If you go to iTunes, leave me a comment, give me a rating. You know, whatever it is, man, I accept it. I'm a big boy. But you all have a wonderful day. I'm going to check y'all out on Thursday. Man, come on and kick it with me. and we're going to just kick back, man, and just have some fun. Maybe I get a stogie or something. You know, y'all can't see me, but maybe once my YouTube page is finished, because I'm developing my YouTube page, my YouTube channel. And so once that gets finished, I get all the bells and whistles on there. You'll be able to check me out on YouTube, and then we can kind of kick back and really talk. We can kick back and talk. We can talk for some hours. But again, this is your man, Jeff Thomas Live, on the Jeff Thomas Show, right here and on our network. So again, you guys have a wonderful day, wonderful rest of your week. I'll see you on Thursday. Again, the Jeff Thomas Show, always on time. Y'all have a great one. We'll be right back.